21,000 feet, they say that they have tracked this capsule. The drogue chute should be opening. If it has not already opened,
you want to watch for it off to the right and slightly ahead of it, Captain.
They say that the drogue chute has opened. We are looking directly into the sun. It's practically impossible to see into this bright tropic sun. However, they have quite
a
beautiful sight at 10,800 feet. We are still
very good.
I am still having difficulty spotting it. Have you spotted it through the sun? No. I have a lieutenant spotter down here. He has not yet seen it. Somebody with better eyes, or at least sunglasses of deeper hue than mine, are seeing it. It is a beautiful sight. We have not yet seen it. The rescue copters, though, are still circling slightly ahead of the ship. We are, again, circling more to the south and to the west. The radar tracking says the drogue chute has opened. I have yet to see anyone that's on board ship that has spotted the main chute. The rescue copters are still circling.
Let me interrupt just briefly to tell you that we are listening now to a direct report from Bill Downs aboard the carrier Randolph, which is in the third recovery area, and which very shortly now will be picking up the astronaut. He should be splashing down in about 20 seconds from now if our advance estimate is correct. Back to Bill Downs.
Have you seen it? Should be up.
Should be pointing in that general direction.
We have not been able to spot this chute with the naked eye, and it should be perhaps more to the west. We are turning in that direction. The rescue copters have not yet headed for the rescue area or the splash area.
I'll interrupt Bill Downs' report again to tell you what Colonel Powers told us, that the actual recovery will be made by one of the destroyers, either the Noah or the Stribling. That is, one of those destroyers will pick up the Mercury spacecraft.
The destroyer Noah to head for the area which is west, which would mean that the capsule would drop someplace between the Randolph. What now? Do you have contact with the... Lieutenant, do you have contact with the capsule as yet? They do not have contact with the capsule. He has not been spotted. Whatever radar tracking that was, it was not a valid track, apparently. Now, the copters have been ordered to the west. It apparently has been a undershoot, if you want to call it that. In other words, the capsule did not fly over the carrier. And the USS Noah, the destroyer Noah, under the command of J.D. Exum, now is reportedly reports to the carrier that the Noah does have the capsule in sight and is on its way. I know that the boys at the Noah have a sign out. They got a take pic. And if they recover Colonel Glenn, you'll get a welcome he's never had before. The competition on this force as you know, has been terrific, and particularly as he's...
We'll break into Bill Downs' report again from the Randolph to tell you that the capsule has landed in the water and that Glenn has been told to stay in the capsule in the water until he is retrieved by helicopter. Back to Bill Downs.
The destroyer Noah, and somebody aboard the destroyer said the other day, if necessary, they might throw ketchup bottles at the choppers. They have the order to make this historic rescue. The Noah would be about 20 to 30 miles straight ahead of us to the west, a little to the southwest. It is, the ship is not in sight. It is impossible to see the capsule, and we did not see the drogue chute, nor did we see the main 63-foot capsule chute either. The reports coming into the ship are that the capsule is in sight. Is there any word, Lieutenant, of the astronaut's condition?
Not yet. The Noah has the capsule in sight. Is the only thing we've got.
The Noah has the capsule in sight. It is now 55 miles from the Randolph, and we will make then full steam toward that area, rendezvous with the helicopters, which would take us about what? About a half hour, I would think. Maybe an hour. In other words, this looked like a shot that was considerably short than originally planned. I'm talking to the gunnery officer here. Yes, I'm from here right now. Still within the area, but we were in like... seems to be a little off. The way it appears is that the Randolph is in the center of the elliptical area from the where the capsule was supposed to come down, and it has come down a little bit off the spot that we are at.
How long would you say
it would be before we can get to see the capsule and get Colonel Glenn back on this carrier?
Well, I think it'll take about a half hour for the helos to get out there, and possibly 45 minutes. He should be back aboard here if everything is going right.
Would you get information direct from the NOAA about their recovery operation and what is happening?
The ship will, but we won't get it right here where we're standing. The ship will definitely be getting information from the NOAA.
Right. Will you alert somebody down there on the bridge then and tell them to get this information as soon as possible? Because I know everyone wants to know the condition of Colonel Graham and his fate, because we want to talk to him later. And I'm not quite sure the President of the United States is very interested in this one, too. Tell him if they find out, Mr. Kennedy would appreciate it. I don't know whether you could find out what happened. There's been a certain amount of confusion here. The capsule landed completely out of our sight over the horizon where the NOAA, the destroyer NOAA, commanded by Captain J.D. Exum, is now in the process of racing the Marine helicopters to rescue recover the capsule and get the first look and have a first talk with Colonel John Glenn after his historic three times around the Earth in the ionosphere. As I think you know, this is here's another announcement of the ship. Apparently that announcement was an order to make pick up speed, put on speed up to 21 knots, and try to get to the recovery scene as soon as possible. As far as I know, there has been no radio contact established between the ship, the helicopters, and the destroyer. I'm going to, if you'll pardon me just one moment, I'm going to step down and see if I can get onto the bridge, find out more details of what's going on.
We'll interrupt Bill Bill Downs report from the Randolph again momentarily to tell you that there has been voice contact with Colonel Glenn, and that would appear that, make it appear that everything is all right as far as the astronaut is concerned. He has come down in the Atlantic. The flight lasted just about 4 hours and 50 minutes, which was what it was projected before it got underway. He has come down in the Atlantic about 50 or 55 miles from the carrier Randolph, and helicopters should be on the way to pick him up. When the helicopters arrive over the area, scuba divers will jump from the helicopters and attach an inflatable collar around the base of the craft, thus lifting it out of the water. That inflatable collar is in the shape of a teardrop. It's about 35 feet long, and it will raise the spacecraft about 2 feet out of the water. Until they get there, the craft should be able to float satisfactorily. When the copters do arrive on the scene, the pilot can come out either the side hatch, which is the preferred method of egress, or from the neck of the craft. That's a good deal more difficult, and he can stand on the collar. Now, while we're waiting for further word from the Randolph, let's take a closer look at what's been going on out there in the Atlantic. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Richard Nickerson is director of the Helicopter Recovery Forces, and he told Charles von Fremd about the task of locating the capsule.
The job of actually locating the capsule is given to the Navy P-2V and WV squadrons, the long-range bombers, and they pick up the capsule, relay to us its location, or relay to one of the ships the location of the capsule, and then it's up to us to go and make the actual recovery. On the suborbital flights of Shepard and Grissom, both those men, you tossed them a line and pulled them up and then went for the capsule after that. You intend to have the same plan for Glenn's mission? That will be one of the plans that we have. We have several plans, and it will be up to the astronaut as to which means we employ. Actually, we go in on the other two shots. We hooked, fastened on to the capsule, and then lowered the line to him, brought him up, and then, in Shepard's case, we brought the capsule back, and of course, everybody knows we lost the one that Grissom was in. But for the most part, this is a matter for the pilot himself to determine how he wants to return to the recovery ship, either in the capsule or by coming up into the helicopter. This is the astronaut's prerogative,
yes. Right. Well, that was Lieutenant Colonel Nickerson in charge of the Helicopter Recovery Forces. Once the astronaut, Colonel Glenn, does come out on the inflatable collar that will be attached around the base of the Friendship 7, he can stand on the collar, and he will then presumably get a horse collar lift from the helicopter that's hovering overhead. And then a smaller ship, a destroyer, presumably the NOAA, will come alongside, retrieve the spacecraft, and hoist it on deck. These extra precautions have been taken in order to avoid what happened at the end of Gus Grissom's suborbital flight. When he had a little trouble, he came out, the spacecraft took on water, and sank before it could be retrieved.
Actually, Dallas, on that occasion, for some reason, an explosive bolt was triggered that blew out a hatch. And that, of course, let the water in, and little Gus had to swim for his life. They never did find out what caused that problem, but they have tested the Mercury capsule several times subsequently, and they've had no problem with that particular matter.
Well, Chuck, didn't they actually put in an extra system to make sure that
it did not blow prematurely? As a matter of fact, that system was tested on both the MA-4 unmanned orbital shot and on the Enos orbital flight.
Mm-hmm. Here once again is Colonel Powers.
Into the immediate vicinity of the spacecraft, we anticipate pickup shortly. This is Mercury Control.
Well, that was Colonel Powers confirming what we just said, that the destroyer NOAA is heading for the capsule now bobbing around in the Atlantic, and pickup should be made shortly. And meanwhile, the carrier Randolph is 50 or 55 miles from the scene and heading there, probably under forced draft. Bill Downs may have been a little bit optimistic when he suggested that the carrier would get there in half an hour. Even carriers of the U.S. Navy don't travel quite that fast.
Dallas, don't you imagine that John Glenn is going to be one happy fellow when he's hoisted free and clear of that capsule and taken back to the carrier. Just think, he's been in there now for almost 8 hours.
He has indeed. I should think that he would be at least the happiest man in the United States. Well, now, Chuck, here at our CBS News headquarters at Cape Canaveral, we have word that very shortly now, in fact, almost any moment, President Kennedy will emerge from the White House and make a statement on this successful completion of the United States' first manned orbital flight. So we're simply alerting you to let you know that we'll be switching to Washington on a moment's notice. There will be no advance preparation. When the president's ready, he'll start speaking, and we'll be ready to switch to him then. Well, here we are, near the end of a great adventure, an adventure which started an atmosphere of uncertainty, a certain amount of doubt, but has ended in total triumph for the United States and for John Glenn. Now, we're going to switch back again to the carrier Randolph, which is supervising the recovery forces in the third orbit recovery area. So we'll switch to the Randolph. Bill Downs reporting.
Captain Max Burns, skipper of the Randolph, reports that the destroyer NOAA, which is now heading for Colonel Glenn's capsule, was in radio contact with the colonel as he was descending in the main parachute. However, after this radio contact, there has been no further contact in the splash after the splash in. The NOAA now is expected to arrive within the next 5 minutes at the capsule, as will the recovery helicopters from the carrier Randolph. The Randolph is expected to be in the capsule area within the next 45 to 50 minutes. However, Colonel Glenn, we do know, survived the re-entry into the atmosphere. His capsule and parachute were reported open. But we do not have any report of his condition. We don't have any report of his condition after the splash in. It looks good, and we are on the way, and I will keep you posted. This is Bill Downs aboard carrier Randolph, 1,000 miles southeast of Cape Canaveral.
And here in Cape Canaveral, we do have a little further word on Colonel Glenn's condition. He traveled through temperatures that reached as high as 3,000 degrees on the face of the capsule, the heat shield, as it came back through the atmosphere. And Glenn's comment as he came down is reported to be, "Boy, that was a real fireball." But Glenn also reports that he felt fine. So while it may have got pretty hot inside the capsule, Glenn came through it without any difficulty. And this will be a vindication of the heat shield. This will prove that the heat shield, while it may need a little improvement, has been able to absorb the sudden raising of temperatures to 3,000 degrees during the period that the capsule is returning through the atmosphere and then is slowed down by the parachute and making its landing on the Atlantic Ocean.
It's also going to vindicate a good many reporters who repeatedly have referred to Glenn as that rugged 40-year-old Marine. He certainly proved it again today.
Hasn't he, though? Rugged and ready and able to make the kind of comment that is a quotable quote. "Boy, that was a real fireball." So it would seem right now that everything has been all right on the flight. Glenn is in the water, in the capsule. The capsule is floating. Glenn is in contact, radio contact, with the recovery forces. The destroyer NOAA is speeding to the scene, has the capsule in sight. The helicopters from the carrier Randolph are also flying to the scene, and the carrier itself will be there within 50 or 55 minutes. So there we have the orbital flight of John Glenn ending successfully on a note of total triumph for the United States. A moment that will certainly go down in history, in the history of manned space exploration. There will be other and greater flights to come, but perhaps few that will have the emotional impact and the high excitement of this one. We're still waiting here at Cape Canaveral for word that President Kennedy is ready to make a statement, which we're sure will be on the exuberant side, because after all, this country has has suffered, at least in the eyes of some of our friends overseas, in its space race with Soviet Russia. In fact, that may have been one of the reasons why this manned orbital flight was speeded up, in order to bring us at least within hailing distance of the Russians, who have sent one man for orbit around the Earth and one man for 17 orbits around the Earth. That was German Titov, who reported a feeling of queasiness and nausea because of weightlessness, perhaps because of weightlessness. But so far, there is no indication that Glenn experienced anything out of the way at all. He was weightless for about 4 hours and a half, or 3 full orbits of the Earth, each orbit lasting just about 1 hour and 29 minutes. So Glenn has come through it with flying colors. The ordeal is almost over, and now remains only the last exuberant moment, the last triumphant moment of the pickup and the delivery on the deck of the carrier.
An awful lot of people are going to want to see John Glenn, his wife and his children and his own parents, of course, and in a way the whole United States. But one man who certainly is going to want to sit down and have a long, long talk with John is a fellow named Deke Slayton, who has a similar date with an Atlas rocket and a final spacecraft. That would be in about 60 days' time if all goes well. So, as you said, this is just the first step in a long, long series of flights.
Yes, and Chuck, one of the processes that has to be gone through once Glenn is back on the carrier is something called debriefing. And we're going to hear a lot about debriefing from now on. As a matter of fact, when Glenn is brought on board the deck of the carrier, nobody is supposed to say anything more than the mere bare essentials to him. The reason is that the space agency wants to get from him, in his own words, uncolored by any kind of conversation with other people, exactly what happened. And they're going to get that debriefing. He will talk into a tape machine. He will report everything that happened to him at great length. And he will, of course, answer a very detailed and extensive series of questions. There will be an initial debriefing right after he lands on the carrier. And this whole process is something that involves being questioned exhaustively on every detail, no matter how insignificant some of those details may seem. Charles von Fremd asked Flight Surgeon William Douglas why debriefing is so important.
Well, people have a tendency to forget things rather rapidly. They particularly have a tendency to forget things which they themselves consider as possibly unimportant or things which they do not recognize the importance of. Now, we want to get to this man as soon as possible. We have a large group of people, at least a dozen, who take turns interviewing him. These people ask him searching questions, hoping to catch these little things, the things which might seem insignificant at the time, but we want to get every bit of his memory down and recorded just as soon as we can, as I said, before he forgets it.
Did you find in the case of Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom that they did retain a surprising amount of facts, of details from their flight, more than you expected?
Knowing these men, I don't think that it was more than we expected. I think that a part of their training was in relating their experiences. They're used to this debriefing. They're used to observing and preserving in their memory details. They did this after their flights, just as they've done after nearly every training exercise that they went through before a flight.
That was Flight Surgeon Bill Douglas talking about the debriefing process, which will go on now for about 48 hours. It will begin when astronaut John Glenn is brought on board the deck of the carrier Randolph. He'll be taken below for an initial debriefing, and then after a couple of hours, he will be flown to Grand Turk Island in the lower Bahamas for about 48 hours of relaxation, during which the debriefing process will be very extensive indeed. After that, the plan is probably to have him flown to Washington for a news conference and a meeting with President Kennedy. And just incidentally, we're still waiting for that announcement that President Kennedy says he will make in the next few minutes. Right now, the destroyer NOAA is coming right alongside the capsule. So within a matter of a very few minutes, we ought to be getting word on the pickup of John Glenn from the Friendship 7. The actual pickup unless plans have changed considerably, will be done by helicopters flying from the deck of the Randolph. Those helicopters will, or one of them, will fly over the capsule, will hover overhead about 10 or 12 feet over the capsule, and then a horse collar type of lift will be lowered, and John Glenn coming out on the inflatable collar, which scuba divers will have inflated around the capsule to take it out of the water, will come out on the neck of that collar and will be lifted aboard a helicopter for transfer to the carrier Randolph. Now, it's possible that he might be lifted directly on board the destroyer Noah. I believe that the Navy has made contingency plans for that. But the helicopters, as we already know, are on the way to the scene, and we might even see a race between a helicopter and a destroyer to find out which one will be successful in snagging the astronaut after his three-orbit tour of the world.
I imagine a good deal will depend on how the pilot himself feels. If Glenn is in fine condition and isn't too exhausted from his long ride and his G-stresses and the weightlessness and then that fireball return to Earth and the impact, if he does feel all right, I suppose he'd prefer to get right into the helicopter and go to the carrier. If, on the other hand, he should have sustained any injuries or is just plain worn out, I suppose his first desire would be to get his feet on any deck, and a destroyer would do just as well as a carrier.
And to judge from what Bill Downs has been saying, Chuck, the weather in the recovery area is so good that a destroyer probably would feel at least as solid as a carrier, or maybe not quite as solid. Well, anyway, here we are at Cape Canaveral waiting for word of the pickup, and the pickup should be accomplished momentarily. Glenn has been in the water now for, about 20 or 25 minutes. He came down, the drogue chute deployed at 21,000 feet. Bill Downs couldn't see it from his vantage point on the deck of the carrier, but it did deploy, and the main chute, the 63-foot ring sail chute, deployed at 10,000 feet. That slowed the return of the capsule so that it landed in the water at about 35 feet per second. It may have been a hard landing, but it's quite obvious from what we've heard already that the foam rubber couch on which John Glenn has been reclining during his flight around the world was able to absorb the shock successfully, and so was the plastic coating on the heat shield, which successfully withstood a peak temperature of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That heat shield was intended to burn off, more or less. It absorbed the heat by burning, and while it may have been a fireball to John Glenn, at least it was a bearable fireball.
As we heard Bill Ruggles explain a few moments ago, the debriefing is very important. I think it should be pointed out again that this is not just a stunt, and it's not just a psychological war with the Russians to see who can pull off the greatest spectacular achievements in what might be considered the stunt line. This is a scientific endeavor, and the first step in a scientific endeavor that will eventually go to the moon.
Chuck, we have another report now from Colonel Powers. Here he is.
The spacecraft was picked up clear of the water at 1 minute after 3 and finally set down on the deck at 4 minutes after 3 this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. John Glenn reports, "My condition is excellent." They are in the process now of opening up the spacecraft to remove John Glenn from the spacecraft. This is Mercury Control. Noah.
Well, that's Colonel Powers with a slightly different report. As a matter of fact, drastically different. What happened, according to Colonel Powers, is that the spacecraft was recovered by the destroyer Noah, picked up and set down on the deck of the Noah, and then John Glenn emerged from the capsule. He didn't have to be lifted by helicopter, and there probably will be at least one very disappointed helicopter crew. So that's the way the recovery was actually effected. The spacecraft was lifted out of the water by the destroyer Noah, which came alongside and was placed on the deck of the Noah about 2 minutes ago.
Of course, the happiest news of all is Glenn's own comment that his condition is excellent. Now we finally know for sure that we have our man back safe and alive.
That's right. Yes. Back under his own power, able to step out of the Mercury spacecraft in which he had spent about 8 long, long and eventful hours, and to report that he was feeling fine. It's something that he's been saying a good many times in the last month or so, but this time we're sure that he has a fervor when he says it that he never could have felt before. Now, that report came to us from Colonel Powers, and we understand that Colonel Powers is standing by with some additional information, so we're going to switch again from our CBS News mobile headquarters here at Cape Canaveral to Mercury Control about a mile and a half away, and we'll hear once again from the voice of the astronaut spokesman, the man who speaks for Project Mercury, the Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Air Force, John Shorty Powers. Well, I'm sorry. Once again, Colonel Powers has crossed us up, at least on our stopwatch. We are waiting for further word, and I'm sure that Colonel Powers will have that word on Colonel Glenn's condition as he stepped out of the Mercury spacecraft. Just to summarize briefly, the flight ended about half an hour ago with the spacecraft coming down in the Atlantic about 50 miles from the carrier Randolph, which is the command ship in the third orbit recovery area. The Randolph is speeding to the scene. It should be there in about, 30 or 35 minutes now. The destroyer Noah, though, made the actual pickup. The destroyer came alongside and lifted the spacecraft on board the deck of the destroyer, the main deck, and Colonel Glenn stepped from the spacecraft. Now we're going to try once again to hear from Colonel Powers.
Dallas, I have a question I'd like to ask you. Just sitting in here today, my first experience in this kind of a working setup. How in the world do you know when to switch to Colonel Powers?
Well, Chuck, it's really very simple. The producer of this special coverage, Dan Bloom, hands me a stopwatch and points to 20 or 25 seconds on it, and he says to me by sign language, which sometimes gets rather vociferous, switch to Colonel Powers. We're going to switch to him right now.
Contact with the USS Noah. The spacecraft Friendship 7 is on the deck. It was set on the deck at 4 minutes after 3 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon. Astronaut John Glenn reports, my condition is excellent. He is in continuous contact with the people on the ship. This is Mercury Control.
Well, that was Colonel Powers, who was at last heard from about a minute late from Mercury Control, reporting that John Glenn says his condition is excellent. He's now on board the destroyer Noah. And I imagine, I would just assume on the basis of what's happened before, on the basis of plans already made, that he will now be taken by helicopter from the Noah to the deck of the carrier Randolph. Although, the way things are going right now, they may decide to have the destroyer come alongside the Randolph and have him go on board the deck by going up the ladder. This will leave the helicopters out of it entirely, and I'm sure that will make the helicopter forces even unhappier than they probably are right now.
No, very seriously, Dallas, this is a very, very big thing to the helicopter pilots and also to the men aboard all the recovery ships. They feel, and rightly so, that it's a great honor to have been the man or the ship that plucked one of their own from the water.
Yes, in fact, Chuck, they were making very elaborate plans to greet him in their own particular way. I believe that one of the men on board one of the helicopters was hoping to say to Glenn, welcome aboard, may we take you to our leader. And now he's probably saying to himself, oh, shucks, I won't be able to say it after all.
A moment of glory lost forever.
Here's Colonel Powers again.